Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Galatians chapter number 6 says this in verse number 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." That's true tonight. I'm not going to preach on that verse. I just thought I'd read it before I got to my text. Amen? But that's true. Whatever you put in the ground, it's going to come up one day. It goes on to say in verse number 8, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." If you sow to the flesh, corruption's going to come up. That's proven. It's just the Bible tonight. Amen? And no man liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. You sow to the flesh, corruption's going to come up. Then he goes on to say, "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Then he goes to verse number 9. This is really where I want to go to tonight. He says this, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." Now watch this, if, that's the condition of it, if we can reap if we faint not. This morning we looked at where Paul said that for this cause we faint not. And we went back there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and we looked at the different things that Paul was facing. He was perplexed, he was wearied, he dealt with those different things that he was facing. And we dealt with how that word faint not simply means not to lose heart, not to throw in the towel, not to give up. And I preached on don't lose heart when life seems unfair. And sometimes life just seems unfair, amen? Tonight I want to look into this passage and I want to preach on this thought. Don't lose heart when your labor seems unfruitful. When your labor seems unfruitful. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. I pray, God, that you'd help us over the next few minutes, God, to rightly divide the word of truth. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom as we preach, and God, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, I want to look at this tonight. I'm not going to take a lot of time to deal with the meaning of this word. We talked about it a lot this morning, or this phrase, to faint not, but how it means that we don't lose heart in the midst of the battle. I think about the word in Galatians 6:9 where he says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." That word weary, it conveys exhaustion, weariness, and spiritual fatigue. The picture is of a soldier who has fought so long and he has been in the battle so long and he becomes battle weary and tempted to simply throw in the towel, or he's tempted to surrender to the enemy. Paul reminds us that there is a harvest coming. There is a due season on the way. There is a day of reaping that is ahead of us. And if we're going to reap the right things, then we're going to have to sow the right things. Amen? And the truth of the matter is this. If we sow the right things, whether it's now or whether it's later, whether it's sooner or whether it's later, there will be a reaping of the right things. Paul reminds us that between the sowing and the reaping, there is times of weariness sometimes, though. Yes, we sow and we wonder, is God ever going to give the increase? But the truth of the matter is this, sooner or later, God will give the increase. I thought about this. Anybody can serve God when the altar's full, when the church is growing, when prayers are being answered, and the results are visible. But what about when the labor seems unnoticed, and the burdens feel heavy, and the harvest feels delayed. What are we going to do in those times? What I want to talk to you about tonight is this. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel when it seems it's that way, when it seems that our harvest is delayed. I promise you, in due season, God will give the increase. Let me show you three things tonight and we'll go home. Number one, I want you to see how the discouraged worker feels. How the discouraged worker feels. What did the Bible say? He says, let us not be weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing. The truth of the matter is this, even the faithful servants of God become weary at times. And can I just say this to you? That's normal. That's normal. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know about that. You're flesh tonight, and it's normal. You remember the story in the book of Exodus? One of the greatest leaders that we know of, probably the greatest besides the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest leader of Israel, was a man by the name of Moses. And whenever you study Moses' life out, you remember that story when they went up on the mountain and they was in battle, and as long as Moses had his arms raised up, the children of Israel would prevail. But when his arms fell, when his arms came down, what would happen? The enemy would prevail. So what happened? Aaron and Hur got beside or on each side of Moses, the man of God, and held his arms up. Why did they do that? Because Moses had become weary in the battle. And there's times that we're serving God with all of our heart. We're putting everything that we can put into it. We're trying to do right. We're trying to live right. We're trying to read our Bible. We're trying to go to church. We're trying to go to visitation. We're trying to go to every special meeting. But we still get wearied in the journey. We still become weary. How the discouraged worker feels. I thought about this. Whenever you think about that, sometimes we act like spiritual people never struggle with discouragement, exhaustion, or emotional fatigue, but the Bible repeatedly shows us otherwise that it does. Well, what happens? What causes this discouragement in the worker? What causes this spiritual fatigue along the way? Can I show you a few things? Think about this. Sometimes it's the demand of service. There are times when we get tired in the work, but not of the work. Can I say that to you again? There's times that we get tired in the work, but not of the work. I've never been tired of serving Jesus. Somebody say amen. I've never been tired of giving my everything for Jesus. I wish there was more that I could give to Him. But there is times that in the midst of that work, we become tired in it. We become exhausted in it. Why? Because of the demand of service. Jesus experienced physical exhaustion Himself. He said in John chapter number 4, verse number 6, Jesus therefore being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. That word wearied means this, tired, exhausted, with a trial or burden or grief. There is times that because of the demand of service, we become tired in the work. If Jesus grew weary physically, we certainly will. Ministry can drain you. Ministry can drain you. And when I say ministry, I'm just not talking about the pastor. Each one of us sitting here has a ministry to do. Each one of us has a part in the service of God. And sometimes that can drain us. It can drain us mentally. It can drain us emotionally. It can drain us physically. It can drain us spiritually. Hey, the demand of service sometimes causes us to become weary. What about the disability of sickness? I remember in 2020, whenever my dad had COVID and was in the hospital, it was 8 or 9 days. And I remember last year when my dad had open heart surgery. I remember just a few years ago when I had meningitis and was out of the pulpit for 5 weeks. Can I just tell you something? Sometimes the disability of sickness causes us to get weary in the journey. I thought about this. Boy, I could say so much on that, but I'm going to move on quickly. What about the damage of sin? The damage of sin causes us to get weary in the journey sometimes. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? The devil is a mastermind about bringing your past up. He's a mastermind of it. I was sitting in a place not long ago, and I was literally fixing to walk to the pulpit. Man, I'm going to tell you something. The devil brought up my past. Matter of fact, I talked to one or two of you about it. The devil brought up my past. And for about the first 5 or 10 minutes, Brother Jake, I couldn't get my mind wrapped around what I was trying to preach. I couldn't hardly read the text. Man, I struggled so bad. And let me tell you what it was. It was the damage of sin that was causing me to become weary. That's the reason, young people, listen to me. That's the reason it's so important to live your life right and to stay clean and not to clog your mind up and scar your mind with the things of this world. It'll never go away. It'll be there till the day you die. The damage of sin. What about this? The devastation of sorrow. One phone call can turn our life upside down. One phone call can devastate us. One situation can devastate us. What about this? The devices of Satan. He's a mastermind at getting you discouraged. You know what Satan will do? Me and several other preachers talk every week, and we was talking about this the other day. That Satan, matter of fact, it was right after this morning, a couple of days, it was right after the preacher's meeting here at the church. Satan is a mastermind. If you've got 2% in the church that's disgruntled about something, Satan is a mastermind. Brother Jake, I believe you'll say amen. Brother Jonathan, Brother Williams, y'all all pastored. Satan is a mastermind at getting your mind on those 2% and making you forget about the 98% that's going, let's go get it. Let's do something, man. Let's go after it, preacher. If there's more we need to do, let's go do it. You know what the devil will do? The devil in you will get your mind on one or two that you think may not be serving or may not be doing right, and you'll get your eyes off of everybody else that's right in the middle of the battle with you and that's serving with you. The way the discouraged worker feels sometimes. Don't lose heart when you feel that way. Number one, how the discouraged worker feels. But number two, watch this. Let us not be weary in well-doing. How the discouraged worker feels. But watch this. Number two, how the devoted worker functions. Paul now shifts from discouraged workers to devoted worker. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing. In well-doing. You know what that is? That is a devoted worker. You say, why do you say that, preacher? Because he's doing. And he's doing well. A lot of people can be busy and never do anything. You ever met somebody like that? They can be busy and never get anything done. But I'm going to tell you something. He's not just doing. He's doing well. Paul is talking to the devoted worker here. The devoted worker becomes discouraged at times. Watch this. Notice the appointment. What did he say? He said, let us not be weary in what? Well-doing. It's more than simply doing good. It speaks of faithfully doing what God has appointed to us. Every believer has a calling, a responsibility, an assignment from God. God has a place for every believer to serve. Some preach, some teach, some sing, some pray, some encourage, some serve quietly behind the scenes. But all of us have something to do. All of us have something to do. Mason and I was talking yesterday, and we was talking about how we have the greatest church, number one, the greatest church in the world. Number two, he's talking about this, how we have some great people that is good at what I just said at the closing of that. Some serve quietly behind the scene. We have some people that just makes things happen. You don't never notice them. You don't know who they are. You probably don't even know everything that they do. But you know what? Behind the scenes, they're taking care of business. They're getting things done. And can I say something to you tonight? Every once in a while, in the midst of well-doing, we become weary. In the midst of well-doing, notice the appointment. I thought about this. The Bible said, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And can I just say to you tonight, be found faithful. When it's your time to serve, be found faithful. When church opens up, be found faithful. When we have revival, be found faithful. When we have visitation, be found faithful. I'm preaching good. Be found faithful. Well, I thought about this. Not only do you see the appointment, but then notice the disappointment. One worker sees immediate results. Another labors for years and sees little visible fruit. You know what? That can become discouraging along the way. I thought about Jeremiah and Noah. Whenever you study them out, man, they had very few converts. But you know what they done? They just remain faithful. They just remain faithful. I thought about this. Sometimes the harvest is delayed, but a delayed harvest does not mean wasted labor. A delayed harvest, I hope you'll hear what I'm telling you. Sunday school teacher, youth worker, whoever you may be here tonight, a delayed harvest does not mean wasted labor. Here a few weeks ago, or it's actually been a few months ago now, we had to have the patio report on the back of our house. And it had, for some reason, it had flaked up and was busting up, and it was just awful. And Chris come tore it all off, Chris Hawks did, and poured it all back. And after he poured it all back, there's just a big mud pit back there. That's just the way it is whenever you do something. So Miss Leslie and I went out there, and the swing set had been there for 492 years. Matter of fact, me and Sean Myers built it in about 3 days, and they said it's supposed to take 3 hours. We put that swing set together years ago, and all of our girls played on it, and it had just seen better days. And Miss Leslie was just really having a hard time with getting rid of that swing set. So one day she was in the house, and I told Olivia, I said, get out here. She said, okay. And she come outside. She said, what do you want? I said, we're taking it down. She said, we're taking what down? I said, we're taking the swing set down. Go get the golf cart and a chain. She said, okay. She's all about tearing something down. We throw the chain around the swing set and took a golf cart and hooked to it, jerked it down. Miss Leslie come out, and the chainsaw was running wide open. And she said, y'all didn't even tell me you was going to take the... It was awful, man. She got weary that day. After we got all that cleaned up, I told Miss Leslie, I said, we need to sew this back here. It's a muddy mess. So we worked on the ground there and got it all fixed up and went to Lowe's and paid extra to buy grass seed that grows quicker. Got fertilizer in it, it's supposed to come up real quick. You know, it's, you know, it, you pay $97 for it instead of $37 and get a tenth of what you get whenever you buy the other one. But it's the stuff. Yeah, I drunk the Kool-Aid. I got that stuff, Brother Matthew. We went home. We sowed the grass. We put the straw over it. I'd water it. I'd go out there in the afternoons and I'd water that. And, man, I just knew the next morning there was going to be a sprig of grass coming up. But it didn't. And I went out there the next day, and I just thought, there's going to be a sprig of grass coming up, and it didn't. And I went out there the next day and the next week and the next week, and about a month later, I walked out there, and guess what had happened? A little sprig of grass had begun to come up. You see, a delayed harvest does not mean a wasted labor. Don't lose heart when you feel that your harvest is delayed. Number one, how a discouraged worker feels. Number two, how a devoted worker functions. But number three, and here's where I preached all evening to get to, what the dedicated worker finds. What the dedicated, and let us not be weary, a discouraged worker. In well-doing, a devoted worker. But can I say this? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What the dedicated worker finds. You see, the dedicated worker knows that the if is not applying to his life, that he is not going to faint, that he is not going to become weary in well-doing, but that he will remain faithful. What the dedicated worker finds, Paul gives us a promise, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice the timing, due season. Not your season, not my season, but in God's season. Can I say it again? Not in your season, not in my season, but in God's season. Say, preacher, I've been praying about some things and it just seems nothing's happening. Just keep praying. Say, preacher, I it just seems nothing's happening. What do I do? Just keep praying. You know what? Brother Aaron's been praying for 40 in youth church. They had 38 today. You know what I believe that he'll do this week? I believe he'll pray again. God, give us 40 next week. And if we don't the next week, you know what I believe they're going to do? I believe they're going to pray again and again and again. Not be weary in well-doing. Notice the timing is due season. There are seasons when nothing appears to be happening, but it is. You remember I just told you that story about sowing that seed, and it took several weeks, probably even a month, before that ever started coming up. Here's what I couldn't see. Under the ground, there was something taking place. I couldn't see it with my visible eye, but under the ground, there was something taking place. You may not can see it with your visible eye today, but under the skin, can I say it that way? In the hearts of those that you've been praying for, that you've been preaching to, that you've been teaching to, that you've been witnessing to, hey, due season may be just before. The ground may be fixing to break. The grass may be, amen. God says don't lose heart just because you can't see the harvest. Sometimes prayer takes time. Sometimes ministry takes time. Sometimes burdens take time. But due season always arrives right on God's time. Notice the treasure. What did he say? He said, we shall reap. We shall reap. This is not a possibility. It's a promise. God says faithful labor is never wasted. Every sermon preached, every prayer prayed, every lesson taught, every witness given, every tear shed, every unseen act of service, God sees it. The Bible says this in Hebrews 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Maybe today as Miss Tanya comes to the piano, maybe you're tired. You're tired of battling, tired of carrying the burdens, tired of sowing and not yet reaping anything, tired of praying, tired of trying, tired of standing. Maybe you're just tired. I sat down with an individual about a month ago who wanted to talk, and we sat down and began talking. At the end of the conversation, here's the way he concluded it. He said, preacher, I'm just tired. So I'm just tired. He said, I'm trying so hard. He said, I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. He said, I'm trying so hard. He said, I'm just tired. The truth is this, church, every once in a while, we just get tired. But we can't faint. We can't throw in the towel. We can't lose heart. Our labor may seem unfruitful, But we've got to keep standing. We've got to keep preaching. We got to keep praying. You know what? Somebody escaping hell may be depending on your prayer life. Can I say that again? Somebody escaping hell may be depending upon your prayer life. Somebody escaping hell, preachers, may be depending upon us walking back to the pulpit one more time and preaching another message. Some young person's life being changed may be dependent on you as a Sunday school teacher or you as a youth worker. It may seem that there is no harvest right now, but let's not lose heart in the midst of it. I was reading the other day and 2 Samuel. And there was a battle that was taking place, and it was a very intense battle. And you that knows your Bible knows that David had many mighty men, but he had some that is named in the Bible. One of them, his name was Eliezer. Whenever you study his life out, he stood in the middle of a, you could say it this way, in the middle of a pea patch. He stood in the middle of the field and fought the Philistines all day long. The battle became so intense that the fighting became so exhausted that the Bible says that his hand clave unto the sword. It simply means that his hand locked around that sword. He was weary, but he would not let go. He clave, he fixed himself to the sword. He was not there, was going to have to pry the sword out of his hand. Maybe that's where you're at tonight. You're weary, you're exhausted, you're discouraged, but somewhere deep down inside, you're still holding on to the sword. You have kept preaching, you've kept teaching, you've kept praying, you've kept witnessing, you've kept serving, you've kept showing up, you've kept standing. And can I just say something to you tonight? There's no need in losing heart now. Don't let go now. The harvest may not be visible, but due season is coming. The answer may not have arrived yet, but due season is coming. The fruit, well, it may not be evident yet, but due season is coming. So, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. I wonder how many people became weary and well-doing and quit the day before due season. I wonder how many preachers got weary and well-doing and fainted, lost heart, gave up the Sunday before revival was going to break out the next week. I wonder how many people quit praying just right before God was fixing to do exactly what you was asking for. Due season. Don't lose heart. We may get weary, and it may seem that our labor is unfruitful, but may we not lose heart. Just keep on keeping on. You know what you need to do, teacher? You just need to go teach another lesson. You know what you need to do, prayer warrior? You just need to go pray another prayer. You know what you need to do, soul winner? You just need to go tell somebody else about Jesus. You know what you need to do? You need to load your pocket full of tracts and give a tract to somebody else this week. You know what you need to do? You need to pray another prayer. Stay with it. Stay with it. Anybody can quit. Quitters are a dime a dozen. Stay focused on the finish line and don't lose heart.